These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. So, one Six Nations ends, another begins. The women's tournament kicks off this weekend for Ireland. It's France in the novel setting of Le Mans in the northwest of the country. Last year, of course, it was a wooden spoon finish for Ireland in a damaging Six Nations. This year, they have three home games, but it is a tough opener for them coming up on Saturday. I'm Sinead Kazan, and I'm joined by former Ireland international Anna Capeless and Ali Donnelly of scrumqueens.com. You're both very welcome, Ali and Anna.
Hi, Sinead. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Great to be back.
I know, it's come around so soon, hasn't it, in many ways? So I arrived in Le Mans last night. It's my first time here. It's the first time that a Six Nations game is taking place here as well. It is lovely and sunny outside. And I believe, Anna, you're going to be arriving here tomorrow, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I had planned on coming by bicycle because there's actually, you can follow a bike path all the way from La Rochelle, which is where I currently live and play rugby. There's like, yeah, a bike path almost the whole way. So that was my plan. Alas, I had to change it as a few things appeared, but I will be coming to Le Mans. I get very confused about which pronunciations to go with. What?
All I know is you don't pronounce the S, so I think you're okay there.
Okay, what are you saying? Le Mans?
Le Mans, that's what I was told. I need to get on to the best person I know who speaks French is like my 9-year-old nephew. His father is French and he has got the best French. So I'm going to clarify with him again tomorrow. So we'll get this right. Ali, I met you last week at the Women's Six Nations launch. All the captains and coaches were there. I felt like the time was fairly squeezed for us in digital. But how did you find that launch overall? Anything stand out in particular for you?
Yeah, I think you could actually see visibly the marketing effort being made to put into the tournament now. You know, I've been going to Women's Six Nations launches for a long time, you know, back in the Hurlingham Club, if you remember those days, Sinead, where there'd be very few people there to talk to the women. And, you know, there was very little kind of marketing set up. So, yeah, they made a huge effort at it. And I think fair play, because the Six Nations can see this is a competition that it needs some razzmatazz around it. And they gave it that.
Yeah, they did. So the Ireland team was named today. And we'll get into that in a moment. But I just want your perspective first on where you think Ireland are at coming into this tournament. Like, it really felt like last year was rock bottom, even though I also feel like we've been saying that for a few years. So there were so many off the field controversies, like the Telegraph report and the Who Gives an F About Women's Rugby. Ireland not only didn't record a win, but they failed to record a single point in last year's championship. We had Nicola Friday walking away. Head coach Greg McWilliams' time ended. Scott Beaman gets announced as the new head coach. Then in the summer, they won the WXV3 with the Ryder, obviously, that the opposition there wasn't great, except for Spain. So, Anna, to you first, where do you feel Ireland are at coming into this Women's Six Nations?
It's always a funny time, like the prep for the Six Nations. Like, I remember this really well as a player. The build up, like, and we used to play like in a different window. But after Christmas, when you come into camp and you work really, really, really hard without opposition, and you know, you do the media and the hype begins to start, it's always really positive. And now I don't want to take away from, like, actually that's, you know, that is a good thing to be positive. But it's just around how realistic, how grounded can you stay in terms of like your expectations? You know, and how much you have to say kind of nice things. I think when the media come to town and, you know, you're saying like, yeah, you know, it's really great, we're looking forward to it. Like you have to say all those things. And also you don't know, like we don't know, they don't know. There has been no rugby played. And, you know, Scott Beaman alluded to the fact that they're training really hard to replicate what they might come up against, which also kind of hints at the fact that he's not sure how effective the Challenge Cup has been in prep, which actually, to be honest, he's right to think that way, because last year it didn't prep the players at all. That's my feeling is I'm actually excited for this team as long as kind of as fans and players and management and everyone's, you know, our own expectations are managed in terms of like squeezing teams, like, you know, getting a point, whether that's a losing bonus point, whether it's a try bonus.
What about that, Ali? And I totally agree with what Anna was saying there in terms of the level of competition that Ireland have faced in the past year. If you remember against Wales at Cardiff Arms Park in the opening game of last year's Six Nations, in the first half, Ireland looked shell-shocked because so many of their players were not used to the standard of play that those Welsh players brought. And it is certainly a fear of mine again going into this Six Nations.
Yeah, except on the flip side, they'll have learned from that. So I think there was a bit of a false narrative last year. No one knew much about that Celtic competition. And so the idea that it was fertile kind of preparation for the Six Nations was proved wrong. I think Scott Beaman will have known that going into this year. And that's why I think he spoke about the intensity he's been bringing to training. I think it's exciting, though, that we don't really know where Ireland are at. You know, I think having the three home games is ideal, actually, for him as a new head coach coming in. And I think there is a lot of good stuff in their favour this year. The home games is one. The learning from last year is another. They're not going to be naive going to France. And actually having France first is also good because the expectations are low, right? You get a point there. Yeah, exactly. And I think there is something about a new coach bounce. So he hasn't really been tested apart from the Spain game, as you said. He seems a guy who's obviously used to a system that is more advanced and more accelerated. So I'm kind of quietly excited to see Ireland and a bit more optimistic than I was last year for all those reasons. But, you know, we'll find out a lot this weekend because France are so good.
Yeah. Are you more optimistic this year, Anna? How are you feeling?
I'm more optimistic because same reasons as Ali, but also because, well, Adele McMahon's back as well, which is great. Like, really excited for her. They missed her a lot last year. She'll manage expectations. She's a very realistic person as well as a player. You know, she plays in the Prem. She'll bring, you know, she'll make sure that that's you know, that there's no airs and graces about it. It's actually funny that we haven't spoken throughout, you know, like since the WXV and since, like, you know, everything that's gone on. This squad has actually only experienced positive things so far. How that can be managed, that's the thing. When the losses come in, when you're under pressure, how can you manage that? I think with, like, Scott, not only Scott Beaman, but there's a huge, like, management around him as well now, bigger than there ever has been before. Like, I actually wrote down all these, like, new people who are in as, like, staff. That's great. Like, that can only be positive as long as it's, you know, players and management all on the same team, all working together, like backing each other. I think I do feel definitely, you know, more optimistic about these things. Also, I'm a little bit more removed from it as well because, you know, the last coach, you know, I had my own personal dealings with him, and now I don't know this coach at all. So that's really nice for me.
Yeah, of course. And actually, defence was an issue that you raised a number of times, Ali, last year. And obviously, Danaher's in there now. He's come in from London Irish as the defence coach, as a specialist coach for this Irish women's team. He worked with Declan Kidney at London Irish. Last year, earlier, I was totting up the numbers. So Ireland conceded 30 tries in last year's Six Nations. And then, do you remember the missed tackles then against France in that game at Musgrave Park? It was like 40-something. But the fact now that they have a specialist coach doing their defence. John McKee spoke about it today. He says he's been brilliant, Danaher. So this is an area that you're hoping that we will see improvement on in this Six Nations.
Oh, definitely. And we're going to have to, because, you know, we talk about Ireland in a little vacuum here because this is an Irish podcast, but all the other teams are getting better too. And, you know, we have to keep pace with that. So what I hear about Danaher from some of the players too, very positive. I mean, you know, you want to have a good defensive set as a team when you know you're going to be under pressure. So watching how they shape up against France will be really interesting, because that's new. You know, he's new to this. He'll bring in his own system. You know, over here in London, people are just obsessed with talking about Felix Jones, because you can see how a team is developing through the defensive shape it puts out. So I'm excited to see that. Yeah, we've got to concede less tries, simple as that.
Yeah, so the Ireland team was named today. The big news, obviously, is the fact that Sam Monaghan has been ruled out. She's following return to play protocols after having, quote, some weeks out with a HIA, was how John McKee put it in the press conference today. So she picked it up in a game with Gloucester Harpery. So she's co-captain of Ireland. You know, I really feel like she's the soul of this team. I have to say, I came here to France last night and I was feeling optimistic and everything. But when I heard about Sam Monaghan today, it kind of just dulled that a bit for me. She's such a loss to this team.
Yeah, she is, and she's such a standout player. The fact that, you know, Adele is back in there is, you know, we obviously want both of them in there, which is an interesting kind of dynamic, but which seems to work so well, which doesn't surprise me at all. But you know, you do have Hannah O'Connor there. It's not, you know, a young, nervous, you know, like, oh goodness, I'm only in because she's injured. Like, Hannah knows her role really well. She's been playing so well. I'm delighted for Hannah, you know, because she was only named as a training panelist. So she's obviously did really well, you know, to put her hand up and if there is any injury. And I'm glad to hear that if it is an issue around, you know, concussion and Sam Monaghan's just not ready yet, that they're managing that. And, you know, she's being really well looked after.
With the next two games being Italy and Wales at home, rather she takes a break now. Those are the two winnable games. Those are two of the three, I think, winnable games. So, yeah, as you say, manage her sensibly and get her back.
Yeah, it is good to have Hannah O'Connor in there. But the fact is that it's going to be a new combination now in the second row. Dorothy Wall, who she started playing in the second row from the WXB, has been playing in the second row from the Challenge Cup. But like, it was Friday in Monaghan, you know, the last few Six Nations, and they were brilliant as a combination. Not to have that going into this, Anna, you know, like, you know, I know Hannah's going in there, but the fact that it's, you know, Dorothy Wall is not experienced at this level in the second row herself.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, an area of contention, especially in, you know, the weight of the pack and in the scrum. So let's see, like, if they can just be sensible with, but on their attacking ball, just in, out, go, like, you know, and manage the line out. Like, I'm sure that Hannah will be in charge of, like, the line out options there, and just really sensible. They just, you know, have to manage things like being really smart. You know, if you're not heavier, if you're not as heavy, if you're not as strong, how do you manage that? Like, what tactics? And, like, I think Scott Beeman's perfect coach to be looking at that. Like, tactically, he knows, like, the best squad in the world, which is England, probably, so well. He'll know how to get at a strong team like that, a strong pack like that.
What do you think, Ellie?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the French pack that's been named, it's not lacking experience, that's for sure. So I think they might well, you know, see that as an area of strength for them. But I do think, you know, my understanding is that set piece has been a really big focus for Scott and the team when they've come in. So I'll be interested to see that. I do think, I mean, Dorothy Wall's an experienced player. Yes, of course, it's different being in the engine room there. But we have got, I think, a very good, solid, impressive front row, you know, who are experienced at this level and play at a high level themselves. So I'm sort of, it's always going to be difficult against the French. They have a good scrum. They like to maul their line out. It's going to be tough. So, you know, getting parity, I think, is probably what we're after here. And as you say, Anna, just, you know, getting that ball away nice and quick, I think, is key. But, you know, I think it's a good pack. I think we've got a nice, bright, exciting back row there as well. So I'm kind of excited to see how they go.
Yeah, and even last year, amid all the difficulties, the scrum was an area that really improved from that first half, actually, against Wales. And it really did improve as the competition went on. Nicole Foley also starts as well at 10. It's her first Six Nations since 2019. There had been a bit of concern about Dana O'Brien. She picked up an ankle injury in a Challenge Cup game in January. So she hasn't played since then. So there was always a bit of doubt about her. But Foley in there, she's got a big boot in her again, but it's going to be another step up, isn't it, Ali, really coming into this Six Nations, considering like the backs she's going to be facing as well, you know, in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit worried about the Irish kind of 10 selection because in one way or another, they've all had injury issues over the last few months and none of them have actually played a whole lot of rugby. I suspect her selection might hint at a kicking game or a game which is kind of based on territory because you'd have expected, perhaps if I was picking the team this morning, I'd have had Dan starting. Now, she is also coming back from injury. So I wonder if that's a tactic here. He's come in, had a look at the squad and thought, okay, let's get us on the front foot. Let's, you know, let's try and play to some, you know, to try and put teams under pressure and get behind them. So that might be why. But yeah, it would have been a step up for either of them, given how little game time they both had.
Yeah. And Kate Corrigan then is the uncapped player. She's only 18. She's on the right wing. She really has been racking up the tries. I did see one of the tries she scored against the Clovers when she was playing for the Wolfhounds, and she got the ball from inside, like near, you know, their own try line, and she ran up the pitch. So she is definitely one to watch. And also then as well, Anna, we've got the return of some of the Sevens players. Eve Higgins starts in the centre. Aveen Riley's at scrum back, at scrum half. And welcome back, Baveen Parsons. I had to go back and look at this morning, but she hasn't started a Six Nations game for Ireland since April 2021. She made three appearances off the bench in 2022 and then was solely concentrating on the Sevens last year as they eventually got the qualification for the Olympic Games. But it is great to have Baveen back, isn't it, Anna?
Yeah, it is. I actually think all three players that have been, you know, that are being managed there between the Sevens and 15s environments, like they all had very strong, you know, they found their love of rugby through 15s. You know, and many of the players in the Sevens circuit have, but like particularly these three players, like I think of the excitement I had for all three of them, like watching them come into camp, like in their first days in camping, like, oh my God, like, look how good this young player is. And then, you know, they, you know, through decisions made, like they follow the Sevens pathway, balancing the two environments. Like, again, we're talking about Sevens 15s in Ireland. Like, let's see how it can be managed this year, especially with an Olympics coming up. But yeah, they will be hugely valuable for these couple of whatever games they're around for. Like Bavid, like, oh, such a threat, such a fantastic runner. But Eve as well, like, I'm actually quite excited to see Eve. She's no stranger to like big games. Like, she won't be fazed about the French like at all. And like, you know, kind of a matchup in the centres with like herself and Dalton against like Vernier and Condé. Like, that's gonna be I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that. And like, I think Eve, like, particularly, is just going to have like no bother in being like throwing the kitchen sink at them.
Well, 2 years ago in Toulouse, did she have a try chalked off? But anyway, she eventually scored a try as well. So, and she had a really good performance. I know they got a bit of a beating that day, Ali, but she has, like, Eve being back there in the centre alongside Eve Dalton, like, is just a massive boost.
I think it's a really good midfield. I mean, it's as good a midfield as you would have hoped to pick. Eve Higgins is a world-class player. And I was listening to a podcast last week, which Emily Scarrett was on, and she picked her out as the kind of player to watch for Ireland. So I thought that was interesting. You know, she's a centre of some renown, so she'd know. But yeah, that is an exciting midfield. I mean, the French midfield, I don't know too much about the inside centre, but, you know, about the outside centre. But you play against Vernier, you know you're in a game. So that's a very exciting 2v2 there, I think. The other thing as well is that the French 10, so Drouin must be injured. She's not picked. She's back in the squad from 7, but isn't picked. You know, they picked a very fresh green 10, whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. Maybe, Anna, you can have a go. So there's an opportunity there too, I think, for, you know, from us from 7 out to 13 to put pressure on her. But yeah, Eve Higgins back, brilliant. Baven, brilliant. I mean, I suppose there's a whole debate, we won't do it today, about, you know, the strategy of bringing the Sevens girls back in, because last year they didn't play because they wanted to qualify, got that. This year they qualified, and I think Ireland could win a medal at the Olympics. And, you know, what I keep saying to people here is, you don't get it. We don't win that many Olympic medals. So I thought they'd be wrapped up in cotton wool. They haven't been. That's great for the 15s, but it's just an interesting, hard-to-understand strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you think about that, Anna?
I've been thinking about this as well. I'm like, I understand why those three players have been like picked for 15s, because they're all brilliant and they understand the 15s game very well. But I wonder, why was the line drawn there? Why were there only those three? What's the balance there? I actually don't understand it at all. And I'm sure there are reasons, but I'm not sure why. Why didn't, if they're giving those three, why didn't they give more? Why are they maybe wrapping some in cotton wool and not others? I'm not sure.
Yeah, players have to play, I guess. You know, that's the other thing. I know there are sevens rounds coming up. My theory, completely unfounded and unproven and based on my own view, is that I wonder if Scott Beaman said, you know, he would have been a very attractive candidate for that job and would have had cards in his favour in a way that maybe other coaches haven't. And maybe he said, I want some of these girls playing in this team. It's a hard enough job. I'm in a rebuild job. I'd like that to be true, because I'd like the idea of a coach coming in, making demands like that. But look, either way, great to have them.
Yeah, no, it is. And I even remember Greg McWilliams last year a few times mentioning unprompted about the absence of the sevens players. So, you know, I do think it is good to have them back there. So just kind of overall, I mean, they've mentioned that their target is getting that qualification for next year's World Cup in England. What do you want to see? What would be the main things you want to see from Ireland this year? In the Six Nations, I should say. Go on, Ali, you first.
Oh, okay. I was trying to point down the camera to Anna. I think, we need a win, right? We need a kind of feel-good win. I think there's a possibility to win two of those three games. I think Italy are a beatable team. Wales are getting better and Scotland are getting better, but look, we're playing them at home. So I think a win is vital. I do think, you know, we've got to start seeing, you know, a structure and a style to the way in which this new coaching team want to play. And it's simply signs of improvement. Like last year, you teed this conversation up by talking about last year. It was disastrous on and off the field. We played very poorly, probably impacted by what was happening off the field. You know, our fundamentals went missing. You know, we couldn't make tackles. We dropped balls. So I think a kind of baseline improvement, a win, and just evidence that we're kind of progressing, I think would be enough for me.
Yeah, I agree. I can't, like, what a win would mean for this squad would be absolutely huge, because I'm sure they're tired as well of not having actually had the opportunity to prove themselves. You know, like you run in however many tries against Colombia, Kazakhstan, and then you know, I do think grinding out a win versus Spain is probably not the worst thing either, because they, you know, they had to show character to get that win versus Spain, and they'll know how that'll feel. Like for them to get a win, for them to qualify, I feel like, I'm not going to get carried away, but I feel like that would be so huge for this squad to qualify with this Six Nations for the next World Cup. Do they have to do it? They don't. Like, even if they didn't qualify, let's say they took the wooden spoon again because all of the other teams just also had ramped it up so much. What we want is them to be like, all right, look, we know our identity. We know what we want. We feel good. We feel better. We've learned a lot. We've applied it and we're moving forward together. They could, you know, they still have an opportunity to get that qualification through WXV. So it's not the be all and end all. Like if we're at the end of the tournament and, you know, we're still in, we have, like last year, taken the wooden spoon, it's not going to be the worst thing. What would be the worst thing is, you know, when the pressure comes on, the wheels come off and they don't know how to manage it. That would be the worst outcome. However, I think Ali's probably not far off the mark in that these home games are winnable. I think the Scottish game could be the one where they take it.
God, how much a win would mean to them as well after last year's Six Nations, which was so, so awful. But I do think they have been working a lot on their culture. A lot of the players have been mentioning that. Sean Ryan, he's come in as the kind of culture guy, and he used to work with Munster as well, so I've heard a lot of good things about him. And you know, you mentioned there, but like Dorothy Wall said last week, she's like, going, they want to create a culture where they go, God, who's going to die for me, you know, when you play against England. So they are trying to kind of build those tight bonds, because I'm sure they were absolutely kind of tested last year after that disastrous Six Nations. Let's take a quick look at the other schedule of the games this weekend. So obviously France against Ireland kicks off at 2:15 Irish time. That's followed by Wales against Scotland. And then on Sunday, it's Italy against England, with England going for their sixth title in a row in this Six Nations. I mean, we used to talk about two tiers in this Six Nations. it was three last year, England and France, and then Wales, Scotland, Italy, and then Ireland. What are we looking at this year, Ali? Does it, a lot of predictability is there around the Six Nations for those kind of top two, I suppose, as well?
Yeah, and I spoke to Tom Harrison, who's the Six Nations CEO, at the launch last week, and we talked quite a bit about the lack of jeopardy in this competition at the moment and how important that might become in the future as we seek to bring in, you know, partners and investors and all the rest of it. I mean, look, England are red hot favourites, no doubt about it, even though the last game is in France, which I can't wait for. I'm getting a long leisurely train to Bordeaux with no children. I can't wait. The match, I'm not bothered about, I don't care about the match, I care about the train ride. I've already got the books I'm going to read on that train. But I think, that game, you know, it would all build up to that crescendo provided France don't slip up en route, which they could. But I think, look, we don't know if it's going to be three-tier yet. That's the truth, because we haven't seen enough of Ireland. But I suspect it might revert a little bit. Ireland they're going to be better. 100%, I have no doubt about that. Everything is better. And the cultural piece you just said is really key, because people scoff at that. An old school rugby fan say, oh, it's all nonsense, it's all about their train. You know, if you remember when the Black Ferns went on their tour the year before the World Cup and had a disastrous tour, they lost every game. When they brought Alan Bunting in to be their cultural guy, who's now the coach, that actually was the kind of, yes, okay, Wayne Smith played a role, but a lot of them would say that was the kind of flick switch, because they talked about what mattered to them and their community and their culture as, you know, a really kind of multi-ethnic team. I don't know what Ireland's approach has been, but I think that probably is a bit, and it's quite important to them after the hammering they kind of took as a unit last year, both physically and literally. So look, England will be favourites to win the whole thing, and we'll kind of see how the rest plays out.
Yeah, and just on that, Anna, you know, can it be overrated sometimes about a team's culture? Because like, I'm kind of like that, Ali, like my eyes glaze over sometimes when people start going on about culture without giving the actual granular detail of what that actually means. How important is it, Anna, when you've been in an environment that when results haven't been going well, and how that kind of negativity can spread if it's not right?
Yeah, that's the issue, because culture is key. But a culture that's mismanaged can actually be to your detriment. Like, an example I kind of see a lot or encounter a lot is, you know, like, and this could be in club or country or wherever, all teams do this, where you come together and you write your words down that you want to represent. And then you put them on the wall in the dressing room, and then you don't live by them, or you don't lead by those examples, or they're stuck on the wall unless you live by what it is that you're trying to do, and unless there's somebody like that can see it. So with a cultural, you know, advisor and our, you know, leaders like Sam and Adele, and you know, a kind of a good competition in there as well between like the Clovers and Wolfhounds and you know, like kind of old school provincial like competitiveness, like that. I think it's a really good recipe, but if it's managed poorly, it can actually be to your detriment. Like, I know we kind of had encountered like culture that was made more to keep the players quiet, you know, masked in a way of if you're not selected, you know, you've got to be there for the team, i.e. don't ask questions, or, you know, don't cry, or don't, you know, you have to like keep your mouth shut and keep going. Like, that's kind of some ways how the culture was sold to us, and it was destroying. Like, it was I it's still very triggering for me to come across culture that's mismanaged, because it was for us in Ireland for a long time, which was awful. I feel like they're starting to really get it right. So, you know, when we see this team and management like encountering difficulties, how will they stick together? That'll be the test of the culture, that the work that they're putting into their culture now, that'll be the test of it.
It is going to be interesting to see how it works out for them, and like they've said actually over the week as well, look, the proof will be in their performance. So you know, on Saturday. So in terms of all that kind of coming together for them. So just to finish up, look, we know kind of the beatings that Ireland have had at the hands of France over the last while, kind of even in last year's Six Nations, there were record margin of defeats to kind of the teams. You know, and this game, Obviously, as I said, you know, I did come over with a lot of optimism. The Sam Monaghan being ruled out, you know, co-captain, has kind of dulled that a bit. But, you know, I suppose results-wise, what are you thinking against for Ireland, against France? I know, look, no one is expecting a result, but it is just that performance, isn't it?
Yeah, I look, we've never won in France, as far as I know, unless my stats deceive me. I know we won in the Six Nations. So I don't think, you know, who knows where France are? We haven't really talked about them either. I mean, they had one amazing game in the WXV, beat New Zealand. Everyone thought, wow, yeah, lost to Australia, lost to Canada. So who knows? Because they're France and they're maddeningly inconsistent, but they should win at home because they always have big crowd behind them. I'd imagine they'll be the same in Le Mans this weekend. So I, you know, something like a bonus point would be wonderful to take a point home. But for me, it's just performance, right? Not that we, you know, if you look at the stats of last year, we were poor in lots of areas. So it's really about seeing the improvement, you know, and coming back to those two key home matches coming up next and saying, all right, listen, we didn't win in France, but we took enough with us to say we're going to beat Italy.
Yeah, if you could, even if you could deny France a bonus point, because they'll be looking for a bonus point win, that would be an achievement. To get their own bonus point, my goodness, like that'd be a dream start, actually. But yeah, agree. Just a good showing, like putting their set piece under pressure, putting their attack under pressure. Like if France are scoring, that it's not like straight up through the middle or a couple of passes, that it's like sustained defensive pressure from Ireland. And they're just 80 minutes on the line. Like if you look at the bench that Ireland also have, like to come on, there are girls who've been capped as well. A lot of girls who played in Six Nations last year, the WXV as well. So it's not just, you know, oh, we're afraid to bring on our bench at 60 minutes because they're all new caps and they're going to, you know, lose their minds. No, like I think it's an 80 minute, like staying in there as much as you can and holding on, like defensive pressure, and maybe a couple of tries would be like, you know, a little bit of a cherry on top of a little bit of cake.
Yeah, you're right, because they only scored 3 tries actually in last year's Six Nations. One was a penalty try and the other 2 were scored from Nicola Friday, who of course, as we know, isn't playing with Ireland anymore. But Anna, I'm going to be catching up with you before the game on Saturday. I think it's going to be 19 degrees here tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be. Are you jealous, Ali? Are you jealous?
I am, but I'm just keeping my train ride in mind.
You've got Bordeaux.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, Anna, I will hopefully see you on Saturday. Ali, thank you very much. We're all going to be back to do a review of the opening weekend of Women's Six Nations on Monday. So chat to you then.